Shoot the ball, sucka! This is Movie Fighters, the show where I, Matt Wilson, and Chris Sims, we watch movies, and we beat them up. And we're continuing our mini-series, I think. I think this will probably be the last of the genre that we look at for a bit. Uh-huh. But our mini-series of basketball movies, particularly basketball movies starring current NBA stars, because this month, Chris, we are watching a movie we didn't know existed until we looked up Air Bud on Netflix.
Yeah, when you look something up on Netflix, Netflix will often give you some friendly recommendations that it thinks you should maybe check out instead.
Especially if that movie is not available on Netflix, which Air Bud is not.
Air Bud is not.
Instead, we got a recommendation of this movie, Thunderstruck, a 2012 film starring Kevin Durant, back when he was with the Oklahoma City Thunder, which is KD? Why it's called that. That's right, KD. That's what we're going to be watching. We weren't necessarily planning to go with current NBA stars as our theme for these 2 months, but that is how it shook out.
Yeah, it was originally going to be dogs.
Well, it was originally going to be just basketball. And
it was originally going to be Uncle Drew and then a dog.
And then a dog, yeah. But Air Bud, sadly, not available on streaming services that we can tell. I'm assuming this was going to be a step down from Uncle Drew. Probably the best movie we've ever watched for Movie Fighters.
Yeah, quite possibly. You mean our favorite movie?
Yeah, our new favorite movie.
The one that shocked us into talking about how great it was.
I went around after we watched Uncle Drew for the show and told people, "Hey, Uncle Drew's great, and it's on HBO. You should watch it." And so many people were like, "That no way, I don't believe you."
Yeah.
And I'm just like, if you want to deny yourself joy, go ahead.
If you do not believe us, for let me tell you, I was once among you, and then the scales fell from my eyes.
That's right.
Through the miracle of Uncle Drew.
It's really good.
I don't know why
anybody would think anything different. Thunderstruck, on the other hand, has the feel of a more standard issue sports movie directed at, let's say, the preteen market.
Well, it is essentially the movie Like Mike, right?
Very similar, because here's the basic premise of Thunderstruck. A young basketball fan by the name of Brian, who lives in Oklahoma City. He is bad at basketball.
Very bad at basketball.
He goes to an Oklahoma City Thunder game, and through a series of events, which we'll find out what those are after we watch the movie or when we watch the movie, but somehow his basketball talent, or lack thereof, gets swapped with Kevin Durant's basketball talent. And hilarity ensues from there. It's a classic like body swap kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've never actually seen the movie Like Mike. Does somebody get Michael Jordan's basketball talent in that movie?
I believe Bow Wow. He doesn't like get, because the whole deal with this is that he like takes Kevin Durant's basketball talent, right?
Yes, I believe part of this movie is Kevin Durant being bad at basketball for a while.
Yeah, in the case of like Mike starring Lil Bow Wow, he just gets magical shoes.
I see. So the power,
like magical Jordans.
The power is imbued in the shoes.
Right. Exactly. You got it.
Okay. So that's more of a magic object kind of movie.
Yes.
This is more of a Freaky Friday kind of scenario.
Freaky Friday, but only with the ability to do basketball.
Only with basketball ability. No other elements of one's personality are exchanged.
Yeah.
So,
As far as we know. Not that I would really know what Kevin Durant's personality is like. Is he a notable figure, like a meta world piece in terms of we know that he gets a little hot-headed?
I feel like at the time this movie was made, Kevin Durant was just a really good basketball player. Mm-hmm. Like, he'd been around for 4 or 5 years in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was 2012. He joined the Thunder in 2008. And that's when he kind of became a superstar. But I do think in the years since, he has gained a reputation as maybe not a basketball villain, but as like, you know, when we talked about Uncle Drew and who would be on the team of old guys,
mm-hmm.
that they would play.
The evil old guys.
The evil old guys that they would play that they never got to play during the tournament 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant would definitely be on that team.
Okay. Now, here's what got me about this. Was this before LeBron James? Because here's the thing. LeBron James is a guy I have heard of.
LeBron James was playing at this time.
Okay.
That's around.
So did he just not want to do the movie, or?
Well, I don't know.
Did they have the name?
I mean, I do think that the Oklahoma City setting was kind of like integral to this movie. I mean, it certainly has a lot to do with the title being Thunderstruck.
Yeah, they could have called this Cavalier. That's also an adjective.
You could have called it Cavalier.
Yeah.
I will admit, I don't know a ton about Kevin Durant. I know at one time. Okay, here's something from the off the court section of his Wikipedia page.
Okay.
In 2013, Foot Locker released a series of commercials calling him the nicest guy in the NBA. And he became a beloved figure in Oklahoma City, known for his nice escapades toward the Thunder staff.
Well, that's nice.
Durant has admitted to feeling more genuine in Golden State, which is the team he plays for now, as opposed to Oklahoma City, where he was just trying to please everybody. So I think if there was a turn with Kevin Durant, it happened when he left Oklahoma City for Golden State.
Okay.
And that was in 2016.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if I, the layman, was going to pick a basketball player to star in a movie like this, I feel like LeBron would be my first choice.
I mean, sure. I mean, obviously, LeBron, but LeBron was not the guy in the movie. Like, through whatever series of events, it did not occur. And
I mean, honestly, it would probably be Kyrie Irving at this point, because he's my favorite basketball player.
I mean, Kyrie Irving is the best actor to ever play basketball.
True. Well, I mean, don't diss Shaq like that.
I mean, I love Shaq. Look, who loves Shaq more than me?
It's a little old place, Matt.
That's right. I love Shaq. I love Shaq as a little old place. And he's great. But I didn't say he's the best basketball player to ever act, which is Shaq. I said Kyrie Irving is the best actor to ever play basketball.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Because in my mind, Kyrie Irving is an actor first.
Yes. Agreed. Now, yes.
But here's the thing. We're never going to know why this is Kevin Durant and not LeBron James, because there's very little about the making of this film on the internet.
Yeah, I do. This does seem like the kind of movie that was maybe made over the course of 2 weeks.
Or a weekend.
Or how long is the basketball off season? Because that minus most of it is how long it took to make this movie.
I can read you the entire production section of the Wikipedia page for this movie, because it's one sentence.
Okay.
While shooting the film, Durant said the hardest part was not the acting, but rather that he had to miss jump shots on purpose for the film to indicate that he no longer had the ability to play basketball as well as he used to.
Okay.
That's it. Cool. That's the whole thing.
Yikes.
That is also one of the trivia items on IMDb. The other trivia items are that the Oklahoma City Thunder team featured in the film contains three future NBA MVP players: Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. And then the one that is a spoiler is about Steve Kerr, who would later become the coach of the Warriors.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we got. There's nothing about why Kevin Durant is the guy in this movie instead of LeBron. And like, even in 2012, LeBron would have been, you know, the biggest star in the NBA.
Okay.
Because LeBron's been in the NBA since like 2006 or something like that.
It's just, he just seems like the guy you'd pick. That's all. Well, I don't want to take anything away from KD. It's just, he seems like the guy you'd pick, which is why he's going to be in the Space Jam.
In Space Jam 2, yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. But look, maybe Kevin Durant is a fantastic actor. We're going to have to watch the movie to find out.
Okay, yeah, I think, let's go ahead and say right now, Kevin Durant is probably going to be a great actor.
Okay, that's a good prediction. I'll say this, just based on what we've seen of the movie so far in terms of, like, movie posters and, like, I watched, like a trailer for this because on Netflix, trailers play automatically.
Right.
This has got a very Christian movie kind of feel to it.
Ooh, interesting.
It's got like a kind of a pure flicks look and feel.
like you talking about that shot in a weekend kind of feel?
Yeah, and you know, that very flat TV lighting, which would also be indicated by the fact that the director of this movie, John Whitesell, is 100% a TV director. He's directed episodes of Law & Order, Roseanne, Doctor, A Different World, Baby Boom, Coach, and Tattingers.
I'm sorry, did you say John Whitesell?
John Whitesell, yes.
That is a much better name than Osmosis Jones for that movie. Thank you for laughing, Matt. I do appreciate that. I don't know if it deserved it, but thank you for giving it a shot.
Well, it's just because I've... When's the last time you heard about Osmosis Jones? Okay, he does have some film credits. He directed Malibu's Most Wanted.
Starring Jamie Kennedy.
He directed Big Mama's House 2.
Starring Martin Lawrence.
He directed the movie Deck the Halls.
Starring Deck the Halls. Is that a Queen Latifah joint?
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito
and Matthew Broderick.
Oh, the Team Supreme.
He directed another Big Mama's House movie. Big Mama's Like Father, Like Son.
Okay.
And then in 2014...
That's got to be like a straight... Is Martin Lawrence even in that one?
Yes, he's in it. He's in it. Maybe a small role before he passes off the Big Mama's... Big Mama nomenclature to his son.
The Mantle.
The Mantle, that's right. He also directed the Disney Channel original Girl Meets World.
Oh, okay.
That's a TV series. That must be like the pilot. Maybe they had a pilot movie? I don't know.
Maybe so. Matt, honestly, I don't know, but I would not be surprised.
It feels like either like pure flicks or that kind of like Disney Channel, everything is bright and flat kind of feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So... All right, we're going to see what's up with Thunderstruck, whether it can even start to compete with the beauty and wonder.
My question for you is this.
Okay.
We don't know what the budget was on this movie, right?
I don't believe that is even given on IMDb.
Do you think we will be hearing the AC/DC song Thunderstruck in this movie?
I mean, you would think you would have to, right?
You would think you would have to.
Like, of all the songs you could, like, you'd have to, like, cough up some money for to put in this movie, which is called Thunderstruck.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to think they would be able to get AC/DC's Thunderstruck, which you've heard in a million other things, so you know that they're not, like, protective of that song being mm-hmm. in stuff, you know?
I did ask the other day, I saw something, and I don't know if I was talking to you or if I was talking to Aiden, but I had to ask if Brian May was okay, because there's just, like, Queen is all over ads right now.
They have been for a long time, though.
Yeah, but there were, like, two different ads using Don't Stop Me Now.
Queen has never had a problem with licensing their songs out.
That's true.
Never.
We gotta hear Thunderstruck, or a song sampling Thunderstruck, at least.
You'd have to think so.
You would have to.
All right, that's one thing we'll be on the lookout for as we watch. Another thing that we'll be doing as we watch is snacking. That's right, Chris. It's time for the hottest segment in all of podcasting. Snack situation. Christopher, what are you snacking on?
We are watching this film a little bit earlier than we usually do, and I was out of breakfast-style foods today.
Okay.
At the old house. So I treated myself to a little Bojangles breakfast.
The classic Bojos.
So I had me a Cajun filet biscuit.
Oh, nice.
And also fries, which are a breakfast food if you believe in yourself.
So you went for the fries instead of the Bow Rounds.
Yeah, because Bow Rounds, look, they're always out of Bow Rounds. We've talked about it before.
They're
if you
often,
want Bow Rounds, you got to wait.
They're often out of fries, my man.
Well, they were not out of fries when I went today. So
well,
I just
I'm
got
happy,
some
happy to
I just got
that.
Some seasoned fries.
Look, I usually go for the seasoned fries, even if it's 9 a.m.
Yeah, man.
I don't care.
Exactly. Matt, what did you get to snack on today?
I have a sweet treat.
A sweet treat?
Sweet
An
treat.
ST?
Classic ST. And this is... If we were ranking the stuff we do on the regular Movie Fighter show, these would be interesting to rank because they're an alternative to Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Ooh,
that is actually really good. They're the Trader Joe's Milk Chocolate Peanut Butter Cups. I have a big old container of these.
Now, did you get the milk chocolate or the dark chocolate?
These are the milk.
Aiden always
milk
picks
chocolate.
Up the dark chocolate.
I like the milk chocolate.
Okay.
Flavor-wise, very comparable to a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Okay.
But the chocolate is not that soft Reese's chocolate. It's like tempered.
Tempered chocolate?
Yeah, it's like a chocolate you would get in a box of chocolates.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Instead of that like very soft Reese's chocolate. Because look, y'all know I love Claire from Bon Appetit.
Mm-hmm.
She likes to take things that you can buy, like food items that you can buy, and make her own gourmet version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Most recently, she made a Cheez-It.
A gourmet Cheez-It?
She made a gourmet Cheez-It.
A homemade gourmet Cheez-It.
Yep.
An buddy, HMGCI.
Buddy, she did it. She did it. She did such a good job. I'm always so proud of Claire. Anyway.
I mean, look, you know this is a pro Bon Appetit media franchise that we have here.
She made her own gourmet homemade Reese's. And one of the big like points of contention with other people in the Bon Appetit kitchen was whether the chocolate should be tempered. Because clearly in original Reese's cups, they're not. It's not tempered chocolate. And she ended
right.
up not doing it. Trader Joe's does it. And it actually turned out great.
TJ says yes.
TJ says yes to tempered chocolate, and it just makes it feel like a little bit of a fancier peanut butter cup. I love these.
Apparently, Matt, you're giving a strong recommendation.
All right.
Because we have previously said, if you come at the king, you best not miss.
Trader Joe's did it. Buddy, Trader Joe's did it.
I'm going to tell you a little secret, Matt. Trader Joe's bootleg Oreos, which are called, I believe, JoJo's?
JoJo's, yeah.
They are a not quite as sweet chocolate as the Oreo cookie, and it is a not unpleasant combination.
Trader Joe's, if anybody pulls off the generic version of brand name snack food thing, is Trader Joe's.
TJ's, baby. TJ knows what's up.
Does KD know what's up? We're going to find out. Right now, when we watch Thunderstruck. You can watch it along with us on Netflix. It is available there. It is 1 hour and 33 minutes.
Which is surprisingly long for this film, but okay.
You're going to hear a musical interlude and an ad. We're going to watch the movie, and then we're going to come back and talk about it. We are back from watching Thunderstruck, a film that does not include the AC/DC song Thunderstruck.
Ridiculous.
How now, we should note though, there is an AC/DC sound-alike song. So budget-wise, this is a movie that could not afford AC/DC. But could afford AC/DC sound-alike music.
Every song in this is like watching Nitro on the WWE Network, because every song in this sounds like a sound-alike. Even when it's like I believe there's literally a song that mentions Kevin Durant by name, talking about his new shoes.
That's true.
And that sounds like it is recorded by studio musicians.
It's called Brand New Shoes.
Yeah.
Performed by Nomadic. I'm looking at a list of all the soundtrack credits in the movie.
Performed by Seafoss.
Performed by, yes, Rick Derringer.
Performed by Jim Johnson and Jimmy Hart.
So there's one licensed song that I can identify in this movie. It is not the one I would have expected based on the title, but it is one you would always expect to be in any basketball movie. It's Get Ready for This by 2 Unlimited.
Uh-huh, fair. But they were probably just playing that in the arena, right?
I mean, they still had to license it to use it in the movie.
Somebody was probably like, look, we just left the microphones on.
Yeah.
It's not on us.
That's diegetic music, man.
Matt, I can review this movie in 4 words.
Hit me.
It's no Uncle Drew.
It's no Uncle Drew. I mean, here's the thing, though. Is that going to become what we say about every movie we watch for Movie Fighters until we're dead?
I mean, look, maybe if more people made a movie as good as Uncle Drew, we wouldn't have to do that.
Fair point. Yeah, it's wild that the song Thunderstruck is not in the movie.
Yeah, to use the parlance, Matt, that's a slam dunk.
You would think it would be a song they would at least like have playing in the arena, which there are scenes in this movie at Chesapeake Energy Arena.
Terrible name for an arena. Companies should stop having arena naming rights. That is my hot take.
Which is the place where the Oklahoma City Thunder play. There are numerous scenes in the arena where a basketball game is happening. Of course you're going to hear Thunderstruck when you go see the basketball game, especially if the team is the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, have it be in the arena.
Yeah. Like, surely it cannot cost that much to license. I mean, we don't know anything about licensing music for motion pictures, but come on.
Yeah, I mean, look, I guarantee that the budget of this movie would shock you with how small it is. Probably.
How much of the budget percentage-wise do you think went directly to Kevin Durant? Without whom they literally cannot make this film.
A good chunk of it. Because here's the thing. I expected Kevin Durant to be in this movie some.
Mm-hmm.
He's number two on the call sheet.
Yeah, he does, to his credit, He appears in this film.
He's got, like, the kid who gets his basketball talent, Brian, is the star of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant has his own B-plot, which happens throughout the movie, about how he's bad at basketball now.
Yeah, which again, they did not have to go back to as much as they did, because, like, you could just go, oh, Kevin Durant's bad at basketball. And then, like, we kind of get it after that.
They but really... No,
like, we see him in multiple games as his life is falling apart.
As he's losing his endorsement deals?
Yeah.
As he's going and talking to kids at high schools, and they're like, you're not any good anymore. We like the old Kevin Durant. You're the new Kevin Durant. You suck now.
Yeah.
We're like...
Which is pretty harsh.
We're like, Shaq, who appears in this movie... And Charles Barkley are on, like, NBA on TNT, like, cracking jokes about how KD sucks now.
Yeah, man. And it's like, and he also is unaware that he has been the victim of a magical curse.
Okay, we'll get to that. We will get to that, because, like, it's bonkers.
So, for all Kevin Durant knows, he has just lost the ability to play basketball.
Yeah. Well, he keeps telling his agent, who is also a key character in the movie, that he's in a slump.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a slump, and he'll come out of it. And he doesn't actually, like, get upset about it until well past the time that he should be like, oh no, my career is ending.
Okay, to be fair, though, I do feel like that might be a limitation of the very talented Kevin Durant. I feel like maybe he should have been portrayed as being a little more upset about it, but his strong point is basketball.
That's true. That you're right about that.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, he's no Kyrie Irving.
He is no Kyrie Irving. He's no Shaq.
Yeah, he's no Shaq.
He's no Reggie Miller, who also appears in this movie.
He's no any of the cast of Uncle Drew, up to and including Nick Kroll.
But it's incredible that, like, a good chunk, well, really, I guess just two players from the Uncle Drew team appear in this movie. Because
mm-hmm.
Shaq's in it as an NBA on TNT analyst, and Reggie Miller is in it as a commentator from the court, along with Steve Kerr and Marv Albert.
Which Marv Albert's in this, and there's a Marv Albert joke.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's more of a Bobby Knight joke, but I don't know. We'll get to it.
There's, like, some surprising cameos and actor appearances in this movie.
Yeah.
Like,
by the way, how was Charles Barkley not in Uncle Drew?
Good question.
He's going to be in Uncle Drew, too.
He better be.
Yeah.
At least he did get to say in this movie, terrible. He's terrible.
He's terrible.
KD's terrible now. Were you expecting Jim Belushi?
No. Sadly, I was not. Were you expecting Jim Belushi's son?
Wait, who's Jim Belushi's son?
The assistant coach is Jim Belushi's son.
That's his son?
Yeah. Who, amazingly, has way more comedic timing than Jim Belushi in this film.
Look, I've never been a Jim Belushi fan, but ever since Twin Peaks The Return, I respect him a little more.
Mm-hmm.
So, he wasn't doing a Twin Peaks The Return thing here. He was slumming as the high school basketball coach.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's how it goes. So, let's go through the plot of this movie, which I think we can get through fairly quickly.
Okay.
Brian, he is a kid. He's 16 years old. He lives in Oklahoma City. He is the manager of his high school basketball team.
He loves basketball.
He loves basketball, specifically Kevin Durant.
He loves KD.
He's one of those kids from movies who only likes one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because his room at his home is nothing but KD posters.
Yeah.
Like, I've never known anyone to like stuff as much as kids in movies like one thing all mm-hmm. the time. But he absolutely loves Kevin Durant. And he wants to be good at basketball. But he's not. In fact, he's terrible. He wants to dunk like KD.
Because you can't guard KD.
Buddy. He tried out for the basketball team. He didn't make it. He has a basketball goal at home, and he tries to do like cool stuff at home, practicing. Instead, he ends up like a lot of times he just ends up embarrassing himself, you know?
Yeah, because his sister is a monster.
His sister is a monster who is also fucking Fellini.
Oh, are we gonna talk about the multiple camera angles now?
Yeah.
Is that what we're gonna do? Okay, let's get into it. So,
okay,
Ashley,
the first time we see Brian playing basketball at home, we see his sister, who has like a camcorder, mm-hmm. secretly filming him.
Yes,
missing shots and doing embarrassing things.
There are. If you were thinking about watching this movie, and you're like, well, this is kind of a kid movie comedy about someone playing basketball, there's probably going to be at least one shot of a basketball going direct into someone's junk area. Don't worry, there's two. There's two yeah. separate about two, an two, hour apart.
Two separate nut shots. I actually started a tally because I thought there were going to be more, but there were uh-huh. only two.
Yeah.
We see his sister filming him. Then we see the results of that filming later in the movie when some real jerk of a kid sets up the TV in the lunchroom to play this video. And I don't know how he has like physical media with this video on it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe put it on a flash drive.
It's gotta be on a flash drive.
But he plays the video on the TV in the lunchroom. And what we see is a video where Brian attempts to jump off the roof of his house and do a dunk. And instead, it turns into a total absolute disaster.
Uh-huh. This is how he gets his nickname at school, which is Hang Time.
That's right. It also probably should have broken all his bones. But instead, it's just like a cartoonish slapstick thing. And she is shooting this. She has like a 5-camera setup.
She's shooting it. She has close-ups. She's got coverage.
She's got great audio. Like somebody's operating a boom.
Yeah.
It is the most professional secret homemade video of your brother owning himself.
She made a wish on that camera with Fellini, with Federico Fellini.
Yeah, she exchanged talent with Fellini. And
I wish I had your filmmaking talent. I wish I could give it to you.
Talent is not important when hard work is what you can do. I don't remember the actual line.
Here's my new idea. It's she exchanged talent with Dario Argento.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
It's basically the Suspiria of a child playing basketball in his driveway.
Harrowing, just like Suspiria is.
Yeah. So this is an extant. This is not the video she's shooting at the beginning. This is an extant video that has already been around the school, that people know about, that Brian has been dealing with ongoing.
Yes.
Because he meets a new girl at school, Isabel Sanchez.
That's right.
And he's like, look, I have a fresh start. I have a clean slate with her. She doesn't know about me and my reputation at this school. So I can, you know, I can start over. She doesn't know that I'm Hang Time. Then that's when I believe the kid's name is Corey, who is his nemesis in the film.
He's the current star of the basketball team. It's Connor. Yes. Connor is his name.
Connor.
Because he has an extremely Irish name.
Is his name Connor O'Brien?
It's like Connor O'Donnelly or something like that.
I thought it was Connor O'Brien, which used to be the name of Connor from The Ascension.
It's not Connor O'Brien. It's like Connor O'Donnelly, I think.
Okay. It is extremely Irish.
Very Irish. And he embarrasses Brian in front of young Isabel.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian he's feeling low, right? Yeah. He's feeling low. He's at home. That's when his dad shows up at his bedroom door and he says, oh, I'm sorry you're feeling bad. Do you feel too bad to go to the Thunder game with me?
Yeah. Do you feel so bad that you don't want to go see the great Oklahoma City Thunder play at the Chesapeake Energy Arena?
He holds up the two tickets he got for the game that night, and they go to the game. They are sat in the nosebleed seats. It's almost like those seats aren't in the arena at all.
Almost.
It's almost like those seats are like on a set. And you never actually like see them in the arena. You just see that one shot of them with a few other people, like at the very like top part of the seats in the arena. And then all the shots of the arena are totally separate. And the lighting's kind of different.
Yeah, it's very weird that they actually installed completely different lighting in the Chesapeake Energy Arena for the bleachers that they did for the floor. But I guess that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, it makes some sense, yeah. But whatever the case, at the game, they decide to have a halftime half-court shot contest. And wouldn't you know it, well, Brian's ticket is kind of selected. It's actually his dad's ticket.
Mm-hmm. But his dad is like, obviously he gives up the opportunity to his depressed son, who he knows is getting mocked at his school as hang time.
That's right. So Brian goes down to the court, and he's going to try this half-court shot.
Now keep in mind, Brian's extremely bad at basketball.
Very bad.
Like, it has been established.
According to this movie, he has never made a shot.
Yeah, and it's not like he can't handle the pressure when he's around other people. He's bad at basketball. He's like as good at basketball as, say, your humble host, Chris Sims.
You know how people say if you do something for 1,000 hours, you can become an expert at it?
Mm-hmm. The great basketball coach, Malcolm Gladwell.
That's right. That is not true of Brian. He will never be good, no matter how much he practices.
Yeah, no, he's terrible at basketball.
In the immortal words of Charles Barkley, he's terrible.
He's terrible.
So, Brian attempts this half-court shot. It does not go well.
No, he fucks it up in front of everyone in a really terrible way.
On TV!
On TV! And Connor is in the audience recording it on his phone and, like, sees Brian and is like, hey, I got this for when you fuck it up, which is yikes.
So Brian attempts a shot. Instead of going in the basket, which would be ideal.
Yeah, I mean, I believe I am not super familiar with the rules of basketball, but I do believe you want the ball in the basket, yeah, if at all possible.
Instead of that, what happens is it hits the mascot on the head.
Mm-hmm.
And it knocks him over.
Who is a bison, I believe?
It seems right. It seems like he's a bison, yeah.
Yeah.
But it hits the mascot, and Rumble is the mascot's name.
Yeah.
It is a bison. You were right.
With thundering hooves.
That's right.
I believe.
Knocks him over, goes bouncing off, and Brian is embarrassed.
Yeah.
So Brian kind of dejectedly goes walking off. He happens to just walk by Kevin Durant.
Well, Kevin Durant sees him because Kevin Durant is coming back to the court after halftime. And somebody's like, oh, wait, they're not done with the halftime show. And so Kevin Durant sees this kid have a very humiliating fuck up.
Yeah.
And because he's a nice guy, he goes, hey, hang on a second. I want to – hey, kid. And he signs an autograph on a basketball.
Now, it is noted before Brian takes the shot that this is a special Oklahoma City Thunder basketball that only people who take this half-court shot get to keep.
Yeah.
So it's like specially colored so you can identify it as the Magic basketball.
Yeah, it has the Oklahoma City Thunder colors, which are, I want to say, orange.
Yeah,
and
orange, blue, and yellow.
Yeah, there you go.
And white. So KD actually picks up the ball after Brian misses, signs it, and then hands it to him. And Brian says, oh, KD, you're my favorite player. I wish I had your talent. KD says, with hard work, you don't need talent.
First he says, because this is what I thought they were going to go with, and they never do. This never comes back, and it's very frustrating. He says, I wish I had your talent. And Kevin Durant goes, I wish I could give it to you. But hard work, I think he says hard work pays off when talent doesn't work hard.
Yeah, that's how, it's something like that, yeah. Whatever the case, they have this little exchange. The ball kind of glows for a minute, and the deed is done.
The contract is signed.
The blood has dried. And Kevin Durant and Brian swap talent, basketball talent. It is done. We don't see the second half of the game, but we hear a radio report the following morning saying that...
Which presumably Brian leaves at that point, because he doesn't seem to... like. We cut to him waking up the next morning, which you would think he would watch the other half of that game and be like, man, KD sucks now. What's up?
But we hear on that radio report that Kevin Durant really shat the bed. Yeah. And the Pistons beat the Thunder. Even though in the first half, which we saw a lot of, we didn't see the Pistons make a shot. Like, they were shit in the bed in that first half.
Yeah, KD was crushing it. Matt, I don't know if you noticed, there's a little bit of a change in Brian.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a change.
Brian wakes up and he kind of grabs like a toy basketball off of his desk, and he like puts it in a he kind of like, you know, tosses it at this toy basket he's got hanging, and he's like he hits it. He gets buckets on one.
Then he throws away a crumpled up piece of paper. It goes right in the trash can. Then
he gets in the shower, takes off his shirt, sinks it from the next room.
Yeah. Sinks all of his clothes in the hamper. Something's going on with Brian, you know?
Yeah, and he's never made a shot before, Matt.
Never won. But that night he goes to, like, the county fair or a carnival, something like that.
That is another wild thing that happens in this movie, is he gets home and his terrible sister, who is the architect of his pain, goes, Mom says you have to take me to the carnival, which is not what that event is called. That is a fair. I don't know if they call it the carnival down in Oklahoma, but I'm pretty sure they just call it the fair.
At the carnival, Brian sees Connor and Isabel. They're together, hanging out. And Connor's trying to win the basketball shooting midway game to win Isabel a prize. Stuffed panda.
Classic setup.
Classic. Connor's having a hard time. It's not working out for him. He's arguing with the guy who runs the game, saying that the goal is not regulation.
Yeah, it's rigged. We all know it.
We all know it.
We all know it.
We all know that that basketball hoop is not a circle, it's an oval. You know what I'm saying? So he's getting frustrated. But Brian, who is standing like way over to the side, he's not even like at the line. He manages to grab a rebound of one of Connor's shots. Then he puts it up. Guess what, buddy?
Buckets.
Sinks it. Then he sinks like four more.
Yeah, because Connor keeps going, that was a lucky shot. Do it again. Do it again. As though him doing it like three times in a row and then missing the fourth one would be, like, humiliating. He gets Isabel the giant panda that she wants. Because, you know, she's a girl in a movie, and girls in movies, they just fucking love giant panda stuffed animals that you can only get at the fair.
Right, instead of being like, I don't want to have to carry this around, and where would I put it at home?
Yeah, this thing that is probably riddled with lice.
Connor gets so mad about this that he storms off.
Yeah.
So Brian and Isabel get to spend a nice night together.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, elsewhere, KD is at practice. He can't hit anything.
Yeah.
He can't hit a damn thing.
He can't hit a damn thing.
And
his agent is like, what the fuck is wrong with you, KD? Yeah.
Are you like pranking me? Are you joking me?
You joking me? You go to basketball for that?
He's like, this is like, you're doing something to hurt me. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. And Katie's like, no, I'm just going through a slump. But then we
Kevin Durant is like awfully chill about it. He seems pretty confident that he's going to get his talent back, even as his life begins to crumble.
So even though he's never dealt with this before, like this kind of decline in his abilities, we see him shooting an ad for his new KD shoes.
KD Force.
He can't do any of the stuff he's supposed to do for the ad.
Yeah. Matt, he bops that guy right in his balls.
He bops that director right in his balls.
And you're right. In retrospect, we should have expected a lot more than we got.
I certainly did. But he bops that director right in his balls. The director, like, eventually just gets fed up and says, we'll fix it in post. Like, he's not even going to wait for KD to do it right.
Yeah.
And KD, like, stays around on the set of this ad to practice.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I believe they're filming it at the Chesapeake Energy Arena.
Well, they're filming it at the gym where he practices, which I'm not sure where that is, but it's it's just some gym where he practices.
Yeah.
Brian, Brian, on the other hand, is becoming more confident. He's at home. He's shooting. He's making every bucket he puts up. He's dunking. He can dunk now.
Which he is a shorter child.
He's let's say roughly 3/4 of the height of Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I mean he's shorter than the other players on the basketball team we see.
And KD, he's a tall man. He's 6'9", according to his official stats.
Okay.
So, you know, he's not one of the tallest players in the NBA, but he's not, you know, one of the shorter players either. He's a good height.
Yeah. Wild that at 6'9", he is not one of the taller players.
Oh, man. You got 7-footers plus, my man. But
very true.
Brian is like 5'8", maybe.
Yeah.
Somehow, by absorbing KD's playing ability, he can jump high enough to dunk and get that extra height despite not being nearly as tall.
Almost as though there's like a mini trampoline just out of frame.
Almost like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So he is so imbued with new confidence that he goes to school sometime in the near future, and during basketball practice, just tells Jim Belushi, hey, I want to try out for the team again.
He's a walk-on, like Invincible from the movie Invincible.
He's got his practice gear on instead of his manager uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I want to try out. And Jim Belushi, understandably, is like, no, we already did tryouts. We're in the middle of the season. You can't just try out now.
Yeah. What are you thinking, child?
And he can't remember Brian's name. He keeps calling him Billy. It's so demeaning.
Oh.
But Brian won't hear of this. He wants to give it a shot. And he wows Jim Belushi with a 3-pointer.
Yeah.
And Jim
Solid
Belushi,
fundamentals.
Jim Belushi finally ends up saying, all right, give it a go. Let's see what you got. Then Brian starts putting on the moves. He's doing crossovers. He's doing fakes. He's taking the screens. He's dribbling between his legs. He dunks.
I don't know what any of these things are, except dunk. I know what dunk is.
And Jim Belushi's like, all right, Brian, you're on the team. Billy, you're on the team.
Yeah.
And with great quickness, Brian becomes the superstar player on his high school basketball team.
Yeah.
He plays in his first game. His parents are there. They're cheering him on. And he scores like 40 points.
We even see his mom in the crowd, who does not have a single line in the film.
She has a couple lines. She has a couple lines.
Does she speak?
She does. She speaks.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because if you're sure, I believe you. Okay.
I think in that scene, she says, "We've never seen our son start before," or something to that effect. And she cheers him on.
Okay.
But
fair enough.
Connor doesn't want to pass to him.
Yeah, even though he's open.
He's bitter. He doesn't want to pass to Brian. So Jim Belushi says, pass to that kid, or I forget what he threatens him with, but basically he says,
you'll be the hotel boy.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Or you'll be on jockstrap duty.
Jockstrap duty. That's what he says.
Because at one point, Connor's like, that kid can't be on the team. He's the guy who picks up my jockstrap.
Finally, Connor starts passing to Brian. Brian lights it up. Long story short, by the next few games, there are people in the audience of this high school basketball game, in the crowd, who have t-shirts with Brian's face on them.
In the Obama Hope style.
Yeah. People have invested a lot in this high school basketball team. Now, mm-hmm. One thing I know about Oklahoma is they love their high school football.
Yeah.
I have never known Oklahoma to be a place where people get this invested in high school basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also willing to believe it.
Yeah, but we have no reason to not believe it.
Like, someone has put some money into creating t-shirts with Brian's face on them.
Is it not implied to be his little nerdy friend who we haven't even mentioned? Mitch?
Is that his name, Mitch?
Mitch.
Yeah, Brian has a little nerdy friend who's like a hacker.
Yeah.
Who you would think we would see that talent used somehow at some point. It's never used.
Never used. Also, at one point, he's talking about World of Warcraft, but he is clearly reading a D&D book.
It is a book that is simply labeled Dragon.
It is the collection of monster ecology articles from Dragon Magazine.
But
yeah, that's right. I looked it up.
Yeah, they're talking about a World of Warcraft run, which yeah. I have something important to say about Mitch's World of Warcraft fandom when we get to high points and low points.
Okay.
So Brian is now a superstar. Isabel loves him. They are a couple now. They are going on dates. As this is happening, videos of Brian are appearing on the internet. He's showing up on the news. Like, the news is reporting, like, KD sucks now, but this kid's good. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And KD's agent knows he's a character in a movie and concludes from these news reports that Brian stole Kevin Durant's talent.
Well, it's not quite that cut and dried, to be entirely fair.
It is immediate. Immediately he knows this.
What happens is there's a story about Brian on the news, right? And then they're like, yeah, but check this out. There's this footage of this same kid at this Oklahoma City Thunder game where he was terrible. And that was, you know, coincidentally, that was the same night that Kevin Durant started to suck real bad. Maybe it's like the guy on SportsCenter or whatever it is literally says, yeah, it's kind of like he stole Kevin Durant's talent, haha. And the agent is like, oh fuck, it's so true.
So he starts showing up trying to talk to Brian. Like, he interrupts a date between him and Isabel.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, I'm Kevin Durant's agent. Here's my card. I just want to talk to you. I just want to talk to you, and like, maybe you can meet up with KD. And Brian's a little mm-hmm. weirded out by it. Isabel's like, hey, can you leave us alone? We're on a date. The agent also tries to convince Kevin Durant of what's going on, and Kevin Durant, quite rightly, is like, you've gone insane.
Yeah, there is no way that this child used dark magic to steal my basketball talent. What are you talking about?
I am just going through a slump, and this is making it harder on me for you to have this weird conspiracy theory about a kid stealing my talent.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up for you to say that I suck so bad that it must be magic. That's very rude.
But the agent sets up a thing at the high school where he says that he's there as part of like a community outreach program.
Mm-hmm.
They go into Brian's class. He calls Brian to the front of the room, and he keeps trying to get Katie and Brian to shake hands or bump fists or whatever, thinking that the power will transfer back, and none of it works.
Right.
And this is where Kevin Durant has what I would call his one blow-up of the movie, where he basically tells his agent, like, you don't think I'm upset that I'm going through a hard time at my job? Like, stop making this harder for me than it already is. Essentially.
Yeah. I will say, part of the plot of the movie, such as it is that Brian, he becomes a little egotistical about his unearned basketball skill.
It's true.
And Isabel is like, you know, you've changed from the person that I met on my first day here. But also, hey, Isabel, if there's like a professional sports agent coming to talk to this kid who does not have a scholarship to college, which is established in the first part of the film, maybe give him 15 minutes.
I mean, look, Isabel isn't interested in dating a basketball star. She liked Brian for who he was.
Yeah. So maybe stop preventing him from possibly getting a college scholarship. That's all I'm saying.
And she sees a streak of cockiness and egotism in him that she does not like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she lets him know it. And you know what? I admire that.
I mean, yeah, that's fine. But, like, this particular instance, maybe just chill out a little bit. let the guy talk.
Katie and Brian end up getting arranged to practice together. Nothing works. But at the practice, everything comes out. The agent says that he believes that Brian stole Katie's abilities. And Brian basically ends up kind of like leaving it. But after Isabel tells him that he's changed, he ends up calling the agent again and saying, like, I want to give Katie his talent back.
Yes.
I want to make this happen. So they get together again, and they try every which way to make this happen.
There's also a really good scene where the agent shows up at a party. And
it's the party where Brian reveals his egotistical streak.
Yes.
Like, he's talking about how – I think there's a line where it's like, isn't it greedy for one player to score all the points? And Brian says something effective, not if they're the best player. Mm-hmm. And everybody laughs.
And this is also where the agent is like, hey, listen, ever since he met you, KD has not scored a point in the game. What is your per game average right now? And Brian goes, 48 points, which is quite a bit in basketball, I believe.
Particularly high school basketball.
And the agent's like, cool, what was your average last year? And Brian's like, I didn't play last year. I didn't make the team. And he like keeps going through like, okay, well, you know, what about the year before? What was your shooting average then? And he keeps being like, I wasn't good enough to make the team. And that's what kind of, like, convinces him that something's up. Is that he finally realizes, like, yeah, this is a thing that happened overnight.
I feel like Brian knew it from the beginning.
You would think he would.
I feel like he may not have known that he stole Katie's talent, but he knows that there was an overnight change. Like,
well, I mean, it is very weird to just assume it's basketball magic.
Sure. Especially since there is never any attempt to say why or how this happened.
Yeah, there is no explanation other than, hey, basketball magic is real.
It's literally a wish. A wish is granted.
Yeah, but not through any traditional wish-granting means.
No, it's God.
Not his birthday. It's not like...
No. God just decides to do this.
Yeah, the Lord imbues him with Kevin Durant's basketball talent.
And takes Kevin Durant away.
Yeah, because the Lord gives him.
That's right. As the Bible has told us. So they try every which way to switch their talents back. They try saying the same things they said before over and over again while holding the basketball in every potential way of doing it, and nothing works.
At one point, the manager tases them which I think is actually pretty funny. Because he's like, yeah, there needs to be a spark.
Doesn't work.
And never does Kevin Durant say, I wish I could give you my talent. Which is a thing he says at the beginning that I thought was like, oh, they each make a wish, and that's what does it. But it's not. That turns out to not be what does it.
Okay.
And what happens is much dumber.
I had a theory about what was going to do it too, because they never did this either. They both always were saying what each of them had said when it happened before.
Yes.
Instead of what each other said.
Yeah. I wish I had your talent. I wish I could give it to you.
Yeah. Like, it should be KD saying, I wish I had your talent.
Yeah.
And the kid saying the thing about hard work. Not the other way around.
Yeah.
Not the way they originally said it before.
No, it doesn't make a damn bit of sense, Matt.
But it doesn't. Nothing works. So, the scheduling of this movie is a little weird. The last game of the NBA season is happening a day or two before the last game of a high school basketball season.
Mm-hmm.
Which, the last game of the NBA season is in like April or May.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in May. A high school basketball season would have been done months before that, but let's forget that. So the last game of...
Also, I like that this has gone on for so long that, like, it has been long enough that there is a Sports Illustrated cover with a sad Kevin Durant on it that's like, KD's lost it.
Yeah, he posed for that picture.
I would love to, like, read that piece, because I bet it was, like, a really good bit of sports writing.
Probably was very good, yes.
It's like, who knows why this happened?
What magic took away Kevin Durant's basketball talent?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, the last game of the NBA season, this will determine whether or not the Thunder go to the playoffs. Because they were a lock for the playoffs before, but now that KD has been in the slump, they've lost a bunch of games, and it's not even clear whether they're going to go to the playoffs now. So,
yeah.
As that game is on TV, Brian is watching it, and he sees the mascot on TV, and he realizes that he hit Rumble with the ball before he had that exchange with KD that transferred the talent. So he realized, I have to hit Rumble with the ball first. Something about the static electricity from Rumble's costume makes it happen, makes the power exchange.
It's extremely stupid.
So he rides his bicycle from his house to the Chesapeake Energy Arena, which has terrible security, because he rides his bike through like a loading dock, all the way through the locker room area, all the way through everything in the back. No one ever chases him. They're like, kids, stop. But they just stand there.
Yeah, there's also no traffic in Oklahoma City either.
He rides his bike through the entire locker room area, onto the court, through the halftime show. The cheerleaders are out there doing their thing. He rides the bike through them. And then he finds KD and he says, KD, I know what I have to do. I have to hit Rumble with the ball. And Rumble's standing over there like, no, don't hit me. But then he throws the ball at him. It hits Rumble. He picks up the ball. They do their little dialogue that they did before. And wouldn't you know it, Kevin Durant gets his talent back. He goes out. He plays a wonderful second half of basketball. The Thunder win and they go to the playoffs. Now Brian doesn't have his talent anymore, and he's got to play in the final game of the season at his high school that will determine whether his team goes to the state championship or not.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that he can't make any shots, so he's trying to pass the ball to other players on the team and get them to shoot instead. But they keep wanting Brian to shoot. But eventually he like ends up convincing everybody, because he takes some shots and they're real bad, that they need to be the ones taking the shots and he'll just pass. So the start of the game, they do real bad. They end up catching up after halftime when Brian is like, you guys shoot, I'm just having a bad night. But with like 4 seconds left on the clock, they're down by two. The only person who can take that three-pointer is Brian. And wouldn't you know it, maybe Malcolm Gladwell was right after all, because he makes that shot. They win. They go to state. Also, Kevin Durant is there for that high school basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
And people aren't flipping out that Kevin Durant is there. They're just like, oh, look, Kevin Durant's over there.
Yeah. He's nice. He does stuff like that.
And then we see that Brian and KD, they practice together now. They're like, the movie ends with them practicing in the practice gym where KD always practices.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Brian's getting better. Chris, what are our high points for Thunderstruck?
Matt, I'm not sure if there are high points in this movie.
I have a few.
Okay, I will say, Jim Belushi's son, as the assistant coach, has some funny-ish lines.
There's one moment that's kind of funny during the last game of the season where Jim Belushi gives him the opportunity to give a halftime speech, and he tries to give the speech from Hoosiers.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Belushi's like, is that from Hoosiers? That's okay. I will say, there are also a few all right Jim Belushi gags where he's like trying to impress Kevin Durant with his community college basketball career. Some of that stuff's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the better jokes of the film.
Yeah.
But here's what I wrote down for some high points. Number one, absolutely tip top. Number one high point, cameos. There's some good cameos in the movie.
They're terrible.
Not just basketball cameos either, because we talked about a lot of those. Reggie Miller, Shaq, Charles Barkley, Steve Kerr is in this. Marv Albert is in it for a bit. Also, Conan O'Brien shows up, surprisingly enough, and he's doing like a joke in his monologue about how KD's bad at basketball now.
That made me feel like this was like a TBS original.
It did have that feeling, yes.
Like... NBA on TBS is not happening this week, so we made a movie instead.
There is also one scene that I thought was kind of adorable. And that is the scene where Kevin Durant shows up at his practice gym, and his mom is there in a cheerleading uniform. And she does like a nice little cheer to like make her son feel better. And to tell him he's just going through a hard time, but she believes in him and loves him and thinks he's going to get out of this slump. Also, Katie's mom looks like she's 30 years old.
Yes.
She looks way too young to be his mom, but that's his real mother.
Yeah.
That's wild. You got anything else for high points?
No, not really. And that's not to say that like the movie's entirely bad. But there's nothing I feel like I can really point to and be like, this is good. The child is good at the basketball.
Yeah, it seems like that actor, who I don't think we've ever said his name, it's Taylor Gray. It seems like he actually like does all right at basketball.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, that's kind of to be expected in this film.
All right, Chris, I've got several low points to go through.
Oh, hit me. Hit me, Matt.
All right, this is one I wrote in all caps on my list of notes. Presumably, numerous people had the ability to say yes or no to the various aspects of this film, correct?
I would assume.
Like a number of producers, John Whitesell, the director, people at the production companies, people at the distributor, like lots of people had the ability to change various aspects of the film. How in the world did you decide to have your lead actor who plays a 16-year-old in the year 2012 to have that haircut? I was mesmerized by his haircut through the entire movie.
It's not the best.
It's like a bowl cut mullet.
It's that shaggy mid-2000s Disney Channel original haircut.
But it's like, it's not even shaggy. It's because his bangs are like straight across. You know? Like the kid has bangs. And they're recently, you know, trimmed. So this is an on-purpose haircut.
But do you think it's supposed to be like that to explain his outcast status?
I mean, it would explain it.
Mm-hmm.
It would make me wonder why Isabel decided to smile at him the minute she got to the school, knowing nothing else about him. Like, I would imagine most people would see that and be like, what's with his haircut? The haircut baffled me.
Absolutely. The haircut is weird. My major low point is going to be Mitch, the hacker.
Yeah.
Because, as you already said, never matters to the plot.
No, and he's supposed to be comic relief, but he doesn't really add much. Here's my thing about Mitch the Hacker, and the haircut, and a lot of other aspects of this movie. If we did not know the years that Kevin Durant has been active as an NBA player, and if there were not mentions of the video game World of Warcraft in this movie, what would make you think that this movie was not released in the year 2000 as a Disney Channel original film?
Nothing.
Nothing. Everything looks like this is from 12 years earlier than it actually came out.
Yes. I can imagine that this script was laying around a while.
Well, but the thing is, the Oklahoma City Thunder didn't exist as a basketball team until, I think, 2008. Which makes it even more confusing. But Mitch the Hacker, he doesn't even have a smartphone. He's got a sidekick.
Here's what's wild about Mitch. He is introduced by saying, "Hey, I hacked into the Evite for that party this Saturday."
Yeah.
And got us both invited.
Yeah. I believe he
said, which is a wild, like they're going to show up at this girl's house and she's going to be like, "I didn't invite you guys." And he's going to be like, "Ah, check the Evite."
I believe he says Webvite.
Yeah, because they can't say Evite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then he says that he's going to hack into the school's database and get all the information about Isabel Sanchez. And, like, that's nonsense. That is a very old person's idea of what children do with computers.
Yeah. Like, again, this movie feels a decade older than it is. But partially because of the technology in it. Like, the sister's camera is like a camcorder.
Yeah.
It's much the same issue that we had with the Kurt Russell Santa Claus movie, where none of the technology seemed modern.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's very weird.
Also, I think we have to say, Kevin Durant is a very talented basketball player. Acting, not his forte.
Not his strong point. He does not inhabit a character like, say, a Kyrie Irving does.
I'll say he does a great job of pretending to be bad at basketball when he needs to do that, which he said was the hardest thing in the movie for him to do. But as far as emoting and seeming like a person with emotions, doesn't quite pull it off.
No, absolutely not.
He seems like he's half asleep through a lot of this movie. What else you got for low points?
I mean, the plot doesn't make sense. Like, the movie never explains why basketball magic is real, which, well, it doesn't necessarily have to.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to maybe give us something. Like lightning strikes the arena.
Yeah, something. Like, you would think, again, this movie's called Thunderstruck. You'd think, like, lightning would have something to do with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Also, they forget a thing that someone says during the the power transfer sequence that would have been a good thing to bring back at the end.
Yeah, you're right about that. Also, I wrote this down. Everyone's either very stupid or they read the script.
Yeah.
Like, every character is either dumb as a brick because, again, they've left out a line and they didn't say it opposite of the way they said it the first time when they were trying to fix it. And the agent really jumps to a conclusion about them actually having traded basketball talent.
Yeah. Also, the movie is not good to look at, which is bad for a visual medium.
It's very Disney Channel TV quality. Yeah. It's very flat. The lighting is very bright. Yeah.
Not great. Not a good or enjoyable film, really. But not, like, upsettingly bad.
No, it's just like mediocre. Like, extremely mediocre. Like, the kid who plays Brian, he's fine.
He's fine.
The guy who plays his dad, he's fine.
Yeah.
Probably the best actor in the movie is the guy who plays the agent.
Yeah, that dude's putting in the work.
He's trying, because he's working for two in those scenes with KD.
He really is.
All right, Chris, what are our final thoughts about Thunderstruck?
Just not a good movie, Matt. No, it's no Uncle Drew. I doubt it's an Air Bud.
Well, it certainly has not gotten the attention of an Air Bud. The box office, we don't know the budget of this movie, but we know that the box office take was $587,000.
Yikes.
I mean, I don't remember this movie ever even getting released.
Me either. In
August of 2012.
It was certainly shocking when we saw it on Netflix.
Yeah, because we had never heard of it before. And, you know, it's a movie. It's not the worst movie I've ever seen, but it's not good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And look, here's what I think about Thunderstruck. Mm-hmm. Thunderstruck shows how Uncle Drew is an exceptional film.
It really does.
Because Thunderstruck hits all the typical notes and tropes of a sports movie where, you know, there's a hero, something weird happens to them, they get perhaps unearned success, they reach a height that is, you know, beyond what they could have accomplished before, and they forget that it wasn't because of them, so they become cocky, and then mm-hmm. they are humbled somehow and have to get by on their own ability in the end. It's the rookie of the year formula, right?
Yep.
And this movie has all of that. It's different from the Uncle Drew formula, which is, you know, some old guys come back from their glory days to prove that they're still the best. But it is a tried and true formula that feels formulaic. Uncle Drew does not feel formulaic. It is a pleasure from beginning to end. This movie, you can see the scaffolding.
Here is my question for you, Matt.
Hit me.
Do you think Brian, with KD's basketball talent, could beat Uncle Drew at the game of basketball?
I think it would be a close one. I think it would be a close game. I think Uncle Drew would emerge victorious, though.
Yeah, I think Uncle Drew. I think UD would get it.
UD would beat KD in B's B, which is Brian's body. I also think that at the end, when Brian and KD switched talents back, they should have swapped haircuts. Like, who, of all people, why didn't Taylor Gray protest when they gave him that haircut?
Maybe they were like, brought it. Maybe that was him inhabiting the character.
Man, it is something else that he has that haircut in that movie. All right, everybody. That's going to do it for this episode of Movie Fighters. We'll be back in April with something that is not about basketball, probably. Until then, thanks for listening. You can send us emails at moviefighterscast@gmail.com. Help us out on Patreon, if you wish, at patreon.com/warrocketajax. Our music is by Michael Kill. Our website was designed by Sean Bogus. The snack situation theme is by Matt Fisher. Chris, do you have any parting words for our listeners upon this episode of Movie Fighters?
Don't watch this movie.
Don't watch Thunderstruck, everybody. Maybe next time we'll watch something we will suggest that you watch. Time will tell. Bye.
We love you.
This has been a Kaleidos Media production.